Hi everyone and welcome to 4Panel, your one-stop shop for everything related to comics, manga, and any kind of graphic literature. And we've got some really interesting stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Including Superman, obviously. But yeah, I think we'll start off with some news, shall we? And the biggest news, obviously, is Spider-Man.
Yes, Sony and Marvel finally hand-in-hand working together and means that Spider-Man might be in the next Marvel in the next Marvel movie like Avengers.
But they're not using the same Spider-Man.
Well,
apparently.
Would you want to?
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to be Andrew Garfield. I don't think they've announced who it's going to be.
Yeah, no one's been announced yet.
But yeah,
like some people are saying, maybe they might not even use Peter Parker.
Oh, it could be the other lad. I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, that's why I've...
the other lad, the skinny lad, you know.
Yeah. So, like, they can take him in any direction they want. They can make a much better movies. And it's sort of... It's allowing Sony to get on the sort of the Marvel Universe bandwagon.
I reckon they should use Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just for the hell of it, you know, have Spider-Man for once be this big butch guy instead of like the weedy nerd guy.
No,
well,
no.
Why not?
Because that's not Spider-Man.
It could be.
Like the idea of Spider-Man is he's the little nerd that gets bullied.
All right.
That's not gonna happen with Arnold.
I don't know. Arnold could be you know, put like Woody Allen glasses on him and give him a cardigan.
And still, no one will mess with a guy that's built like a brick.
Outhouse.
Outhouse, yeah. Just, like, he's huge. But thing is, they've announced Civil War, didn't they?
Yes.
And Spider-Man plays a huge part in Civil War comics. So, like, it's good that he's going to be in it. He can be in it now. I just hope, in the comics, they sort of backtracked a lot of development in the character. I'm hoping... Because the movie's quite different from the comics, they can not do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Anyway, moving on. The Crow creator, James O'Barr, is still trying to reboot The Crow. And this time he wants Sam Witwer to play the lead role.
Good luck with that. like, we talked about this before the show, but... people have been trying to remake The Crow for years, and it never happens. It's one of those things, once it's here, I'll believe it's here, but to tell you the truth, it probably won't be that great after this long of a time.
Well, Sam Witwer's, he's been in like the US version of Being Human, hasn't he? Or is it the UK?
I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it's the US adaptation of Being Human, and... Isn't he in The Walking Dead as well?
I'm not actually that familiar with his works. He's in Battlestar Galactica, apparently.
Oh, yeah, he played Crashdown, which is a really unfortunate name to call a pilot.
He sounds like a Transformer.
Battlestar Galactica would have been so much more fun and not as depressing if it involved Transformers.
Like, oh, no, we're getting invaded. Everyone's dying. Rollouts.
Yes. Transform and roll out.
Just like, this is not what I expected in this gritty sci-fi show.
What? The Touch by Stan Bush playing in the background.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. James, we say good luck with getting Sam Witwer on board. We are interested in whether there will be any kind of progress with the Crow reboot, okay. Because...
For what it's worth, I love The Crow. That was a great movie.
It was a great movie. Do you think actors are being suspicious? Do you think they think the movie's cursed or something like that?
Tell you, maybe there just isn't much going for it. Like,
yeah.
Since so many people have been on this project and out of this project, maybe it just has a really bad script and they're not doing the modifications necessary to fix it.
That, or it could just be a money thing.
True.
Yeah, Occam's razor and all that. Anyway, moving on. We're saving the big news till last.
Okay.
Rather, we did it first and we'll do it last. We'll bookend the news with big news. Princess Leia is getting her own miniseries courtesy of Marvel.
And this is awesome. Like, because Star Wars comics always known for being great. They're on the up and up at the moment. Like, a lot of people are talking about them more than ever.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to be talking about one of them later.
Yeah.
And Leia is an interesting character that didn't get nearly enough, like, development in the movies. Like, there's a lot going on with her, and it'd be nice if we got to see a bit more. And this allows her to go do her thing, be the awesome princess she can be.
It's basically, the miniseries is kind of set between the end of A New Hope and the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
So basically, at the end of A New Hope, Princess Leia effectively has no home to return to. Alderaan's been destroyed.
Yep.
So the question is, what does a princess who, you know, what does a princess without a home do then? So, yeah.
Go to Hoth, apparently.
Somehow she ended up on Hoth. Yep. But, you know, this is kind of the story of how she ended up there, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the intervening period between the two. So, yeah, I'm actually quite interested in this because it's a question. There's always been that question of what happened after A New Hope. And nobody's ever really covered that period of time. So, yeah, this will be a good one, I think. Anyway, moving on, this news made Ben happy. The lineup for the new Suicide Squad has been announced.
Yes.
And the lineup includes Parasite, the guy who could suck power out of everybody, not the manga version where there's a guy, something living in the guy's hand, the Black Hand, Poison Ivy, the Reverse Flash, Cheetah, and a Court of Owls, Talon.
Yeah, well, actually, Cheetah's featured in the Suicide Squad before as well. She's like sort of been an on-off person on the squad.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, as far as I know, are new to the lineup.
Well, the Court of Owls, Talon is a very, very recent bad guy.
Yeah. So,
and there's more than one.
Yeah. So, the new lineup seems very sort of, like, a lot of them are sort of, hey, if we have the Justice League, this is the opposite to the fact that they've actually got dark, what is it, Reverse Flash?
Yeah.
Like, that is literally Reverse Flash. Even though if he was real Reverse Flash, he'd go really slow.
Yeah, I was about to say, shouldn't Reverse Flash go really slow?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be like as if he was standing still?
Quids really fast.
Sorry.
I can get there quickly, but I might bump into a few things on the way.
Yes.
So, like, it's an interesting lineup. Like I said, some of them, like, I really want to see Parasite in this. Because, like, his ability to, like, he basically copies people's abilities. He can absorb them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that could go on with him. Like, particularly when there is some pretty, like, heavy hitters they go up against.
Yeah.
So seeing that could be quite interesting.
The Talon is basically the Batman character, obviously.
Yeah, Talon I'm interested in as well, just because... Court of Owls, you're trying to track him down, trying to beat him. I want to see it from the other side of seeing him work.
Do you know what confuses me? Right, technically, Poison Ivy should be stupidly powerful.
Yeah.
She can control plants.
Yeah.
And she can make them grow really fast and really quickly. Technically, she should be one of the most powerful supervillains in the DC universe.
Thing is, she's often taken out by fire and pesticides, and she has a bit of an ego problem, and that can often be her downfall.
She has a bit of an ego problem, but there's a very, very simple solution to the fire and the pesticide problem. Use plants that are resistant to pesticide and fire. And there are plants that are resistant to fire.
So she's always up against the Batman. The Batman always finds a way to do something. He'll make the anti-fire plant.
Okay.
Spray thing.
It'll be a spray.
Yeah.
He's always using sprays. Don't know what it is with his fascination with sprays.
I was actually reading an article about, like, the top dumbest gadgets that Batman had, and one of them was actually called the anti-woman spray.
What?
And it just seemed like he... I don't know if it's just mace, but he just sprayed her in the eyes and she's on the floor like, ah, my face. And he ran off like.
So Batman thought a random woman was attacking him.
No, he was being attacked by the woman.
Was it just a random woman?
I don't know. She was covering her face, so I couldn't see it. I wasn't sure who the character was, but she was attacking him. He sprayed her with the anti-woman spray, and
I have escaped. To ask, does he have an anti-man spray?
I hope he's not gender biased, so...
Yeah, the reason I've got to ask is because if a kind of mace works, it's kind of unisex, it works on both genders.
Yeah, you would think.
Couldn't he just carry one of those around and then he's got both sides covered?
Just it sees no gender.
Yes.
Yep.
Anyway, I forgot we got one more piece of news. Because the Suicide Squad was the big piece. The other big piece. But we do have one more bit, which I totally forgot about. Not embarrassed much.
Well done, Rob.
Right. There's a sci-fi horror series that I've been reading called Terraformars.
Yes.
And
this is the big news that you're excited for.
Kind of. I'm hedging my bets a little here. I'll explain why. Terraformars is a great manga series. Yes. It's a really good sci-fi horror. It's about the Earth is overpopulated. They're trying to terraform Mars. They sent cockroaches there before, but they left them there for a while, about 10 years. They went back 10 years later expecting Mars to be, you know, at least partway through the terraforming process. Yeah. The team they sent, they lost contact with. Now they've sent another team to find out what happened to the first team.
Always a good sign.
Yes. Anyway, Terraformars, they did an anime version of, and my God, it sucks. I have never seen a bigger travesty. It's a sci-fi horror series. It's a mature manga.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about a manga for mature people.
Yeah.
Who can handle the philosophy, the violence, everything like that. They dumbed it down and basically made it so it's like a 13 rating.
You see this happen every so often.
That's like turning Saw into a movie for a 7-year-old.
That would be quite amusing. You're ready to play a game?
Yes, 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 yes.
And it is just an actual game, like
yes.
Catch.
Can we play Guess Who?
It's just every so often it says, be afraid.
Yes.
Although that's basically what Saw turned into.
Yes, like. Exactly. But yeah, I'm hoping that they stick to the plan this time and actually do it right. Because it's got...
If they do it right, it could be amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories I think could translate really well into a movie. It just depends on how well they do it.
Yeah, and as long as they avoid any kind of Aerosmith track on it, like they didn't do with the movie version, the live-action movie version of Space Battleship Yamato.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, oh, so melodramatic.
Aerosmith does have his moments.
Aerosmith has melodrama. Yes, anyway, that was the news. We're going to move on to some discussions about what we've been reading.
Yes.
Yes, so what have you been reading this week, Ben?
Well, since I mentioned it earlier, I've been reading the Star Wars comic. It's the second issue. And from this, I found out Darth Vader, master of sass.
What?
Right, It's like he's face to face with Luke and he's like, you killed my father. And Vader just replies, I've killed very many fathers. You're going to have to be a bit more specific. I'm like, oh, damn.
Oh, that's a put down.
Vader's got some sass.
That's quite a put down.
And you tell the truth, a lot of the cast, very sassy in this. It's like you expect it from Leia and Han Solo.
Yeah.
Like, they're sassing with each other. C-3PO get some sass in there. It's very amusing.
Do you know, I think the cover of that comic that you read, sums up Han Solo and Chewbacca to a T.
Yeah, what it's got is Darth Vader standing high and mighty with all the walkers behind him and stuff. And then Han Solo and... a Chewbacca hidden behind just like under what Vader stood on, just going shh.
And Vader's looking down right at them.
Actually, from it looks more to me like he hasn't noticed them. He's trying to hide. Like I've just noticed there's also a huge army of stormtroopers behind them as well. So they're behind this giant pile of junk, like trying to be quiet and hide from the army that is behind them.
Yes. Right. Anyway.
So it's very amusing comic. It's based between New Hope and...
So the Princess Leia miniseries that we mentioned, would fit right into that.
Yeah, it's like probably going to be taken in the same vein.
Yeah.
Like there's probably going to be a section in this comic where they split off, they go their separate ways or whatever. I've really enjoyed this because it shows like everyone knows that Vader's a badass, but they don't show it that much. You just acknowledge it.
Yeah.
In this, you see him be an absolute badass.
That's cool. I like how...
You also get to see a moment where he realizes that Luke's his son.
Fantastic. But we're heading into spoiler territory, so we'll end that one there.
Well, not really a spoiler. It's like a really old movie.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that Vader's...
No, I mean how he figures it out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spoilery bit. Because they never explained that, did they, in the movies?
No, they didn't. That's why I like how they touch on it in the comics.
Right. For myself, I was reading Skylanders number 6. And it's actually not bad. I'm really surprised. I quite enjoyed it. It's actually quite entertaining.
Yeah. This is a brand that's being pushed very heavily at the moment. Like, I know from working at Game how big the Skylanders thing is.
Yeah, it's huge. And the Skylanders comic, this one, it basically involves Jawbreaker being honored by driving a magical spike into a railway line that will connect the SkyTrain to the mysterious Cloudbreak Islands. It'll join the Skylands to the mysterious Cloudbreak Islands, using the SkyTrain. And then goblins turn up, and a goblin called Iron Nose turns up and starts causing problems. But the goblin called Iron Nose is a goblin that Jawbreaker beat once before, so he's kind of back for revenge. Things happen. Skylanders trap team become heroes again, and Jawbreaker confirms his place as part of the trap team.
Yay!
So yay! But I'll tell you something: the art style is very bright. It's very colourful. It's very vibrant.
Skyland itself is chock full of amazing art, like design and stuff. Everyone's got like great... Everyone's very distinguished on who they are. Like you look at any one character and you're like, yep, that's what that guy's all about.
Thing is, it's not just the story in here. There's actually a couple of extra bits. There's the main story, which is all about Jawbreaker saving the day. And then there's another little story called Meet, Greet, and Defeat. And it involves, I've forgotten her name, it's Sidna, is it? Sidna? It involves Sidna. Yeah. And she's basically in the Colosseum. She's going to do a meet and greet afterwards. She's basically doing an exhibition fight. And then this kind of fairy-type girl turns up and Sidna suddenly feels weak. And then the fairy flies off saying, hopefully he'll let me go now. And you see Spyro's face and Sindo's face in this crystal that's on her chest. There's another Skylander's face on there as well. It's like, it's only a couple of pages long. Yeah. But it did actually get me curious as to what happens next and what's it all about. It served its purpose.
Yeah, so you now want to know what happens. Like,
yeah, well, I want to know what's going on.
This is a silly little comic. I'm just going to read it. It's absolutely fine. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I'm intrigued now. Anyway, after that, it's got some bios of some of the Skylanders for Blades, Flipwreck, Tough Luck, who is kind of a cat thingy, Chopper as well, and Chopper, who looks like a very, very small T-Rex. Yeah. And then there's all the usual Skylanders stuff. It's an IDW comic, but I've got to say it's remarkably enjoyable if you're a kid. If you're an adult and you're heavily into your Batmans and your Supermans, you're probably not going to go for it. But if you keep an open mind, it can be enjoyable. I mean, it's nice to read something that's just light and entertaining and actually has that clear demarcation between who's good and who's bad.
Yeah, like I read some of like IDW stuff. A lot of it is more kids based, yeah. But it's pleasant reading.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't find anything, you know, that I really disliked about it. I honestly couldn't. It's exactly it does exactly what it sets out to do. It's there to entertain a certain age group, and that's what it does.
Yeah,
you know, everything from the artwork to the actual you know, way the characters speak is just geared towards that purpose.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, I think it's your turn next. Let's have this back and forth going more.
I've been reading Batman Eternal issue 44.
When did Batman Eternal?
Yes, I didn't know about this Batman either, but it seems like it's a very large and diverse universe. Just from I'll talk a bit about it and I'll go into it. After events happened, the police are cracking down. They're trying to find out what's happened, and they have different people in from Arkham. Something I found amusing was last week we were looking through the DC encyclopedia and couldn't find Ten-Eyed Man. First page, Ten-Eyed Man is being interrogated it by tying bags around his hands. So he's just like, can you take these off so I can see, please?
I can't see. What are you doing? What are you doing now?
I said, find out from numerous sources that a man called Achilles Milo is behind these, what happened.
Okay.
And it's basically a full-out call to try and find out where this man is and capture him. He's using drugs and pharmaceuticals to drive people insane. I said,
sounds like the Scarecrow.
Yes, it does. Like, that's what I thought. I'm wondering if this guy's going to turn into the Scarecrow.
Hmm.
Or if he's another guy entirely. I'm not sure.
Possibly.
Like, because, like I said, I'm not that familiar with this incarnation of Batman. But the fact is, he says we need to call out to all the... We need to have every man on this. And just like the diversity, I say, there's like a ton of different members of the Bat Squad, I guess you can call it. There's Batwing, who seems to be having some problems with ghosts at the time in this comic. Yeah, there's obviously some sort of supernatural aspects in these comics as well, because there are ghosts. So there's Red Hood. There's references to
it's basically Batman
Batgirl, and yeah, there's a lot of different people. Bluebird's another person who's like, I'd never heard of
Bluebird of Happiness.
So I haven't heard of Bluebird, but she looks cool. She looks like a ninja-y type person.
Sorry,
like talking. She's like, Bruce Wayne is the bad guy. I know it. Bruce Wayne's the bad guy. I haven't proved it, and I can't trust any of you Bat people, because I know that he's giving you your gear, so you're leaving him alone. Like, of course, we all know that Batman's Bruce Wayne, so she's wrong. But then I'll just go, hey, we know Bruce Wayne's fine, but you'll go, no, you're corrupted by his money and his power. You're
corrupted by his beautiful eyes.
Really interesting. I really want to see more of this world, because there seems to be a lot going on, and I have 40 of it that I need to catch up with.
Yes, I'm kind of the same with the next thing that I was reading, which is the other half of the world's finest, as they call it, Superman.
Yay!
In Action Comics, you know, part of the New 52, or so it's advertised. Anyway, in this one, and I'd like to know how this happened, Superman is sporting a beard. He looks like a hobo.
Well, don't you know the beards are in at the moment?
And apparently on the cover, this cover is it is not reflective of what's inside. Right? Superman is...
It looks like a hobo Superman and the Children of the Corn.
Yeah, it looks like he's getting teased by them and they're doing a ring of roses thing around him. And I get why they made the cover like that, but... I'm just kind of, It's probably a follow-on from the previous cover that they had, because this is basically the last part of this particular storyline. And the storyline is basically a bunch of aliens have broken through from... A bunch of creatures, sorry, have broken through from the negative zone, invaded Smallville, and Superman and Steel have to try and save Lana Lang from inside the negative zone. And so they head in, Steel's bio-organic metal, which confuses me why they call it bio-organic metal, because bio and organic mean the same thing.
It might stand for biologically modified.
Bio-organic.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, if they said, you know, organic but modified, you know, then fine. Biologically modified, fine. But bio-organic just doesn't make sense. But yeah, bio-organic metal apparently is impervious to the... reasonably impervious to whatever it is in the neutral zone that is trying to eat their fear and their terror.
Right.
Yes.
So he fears off their negative emotions, basically.
Basically, yes. And no, it's not the Sith. anyway, they find out what it is. And obviously, you know, it's a bit like Mighty Mouse. He saves the day yet again. But in this universe, Jonathan and Martha Kent are already dead. So are Lana's parents.
Yeah.
You know, and I still don't know why he's sporting a beard. They didn't explain that to me in this comic. And I'm going to have to go back and read the rest of them because I want to know how he ended up with a beard.
Fair dues.
You know, I really want to know. The only other times I've seen him wearing a beard was when he was, you know, it was in like some of the Elseworlds stuff and when he was pretending to be Santa.
Yeah.
So I want to know what the beard is about.
Well, like I said, beards are sort of in fashion at the moment. Maybe he's just like, hey, everyone's doing the whole beard thing. Maybe I should join in.
There is actually one interesting bit in here, though.
One thing, though, wouldn't the beard make it so much easier to tell it was him when he's Clark Kent?
Yeah.
I don't think the glasses quite hide the giant.
No. Maybe it's a super beard. It grows really fast when he wants it to.
So he just shaves it, like, when he...
when he turns the Clark Kent.
Yeah, and then he just goes... And the beard comes out when he needs to.
Yeah, basically, yeah. you know, you never know. He could have, like, a button somewhere. somewhere under his chin. He presses the button and it retracts the beard.
Don't you? It wouldn't be the strangest of Superman's powers.
I know. Anyway, inside this, there's also a preview of something called Suiciders. By Lee Bermejo. It says, in New Angeles, killing isn't a crime, it's entertainment. It looks a bit like... I mean, I like the art style in it, and I like the action in it. It looks really interesting. It's something that I'm actually looking forward to seeing. And then they got a preview of stuff that's coming out in March 2015, which includes Bizarro.
Actually, Batman Eternal had a different... like preview of Suiciders.
Yeah.
Where it's like two people trapped in an arena needing to fight each other till death, and it looked really interesting.
Yeah.
And the comic I'm going into next has a thing for Bizarro.
Got it.
Like, you can tell, DC do a good job at advertising what's coming out.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
They also, back when I was a kid, they also did a brilliant job of advertising, you know, how to build muscle fast and various things like that, you know, and all those joke shop adverts and the guy basically flexing his pecs while wearing, you know, while wearing like Speedos, and it said, you could turn from this, and there's like a skinny guy, into this. Order now.
my favorite thing like that I saw recently was there was an advert for fat guy, and then 1 month later, and then there was the same fat guy but without the glasses, and it was like an advert for laser eye surgery. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant.
like that.
I know it's a bit off topic, but it just
it works. It's a really good idea. Anyway, you were reading
another Batman comic I've been reading is the Detective Comics. That was like the original, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Detective Comics Batman. Except in this, it's part three of an anarchy arc they're doing at the moment. So after the events of the last one, Batman is being framed for a kid who's been shot.
Okay.
What's going on is Anarchy's come out and he's sort of influenced a load of people, and people are just going out wearing masks. Some of them are doing, like, and with the anonymous standing, some people are using it to help some people, but the vast majority are just causing destruction and thinking they're free because they're wearing this mask. And in this confusion, a cop accidentally shot a kid who was wearing a mask. Like, and his innocent kid never did anything wrong, who's now hospitalized. And the police are framing Batman for it. Because with this whole thing going on, they're like, oh, the people already rioting, if they think the police are killing innocent people, they'll riot even more. So we're going to frame Batman. So so Batman is teaming up with the partner of the cop who shot the kid in hopes to try and stop Anarchy from, like, basically destroying Gotham. Because, like, they're saying this, they've seen this sort of chaos before, but it isn't like with Scarecrow's insanity gas. It's just him. People are going out on their own free will and doing this.
Yeah.
And he needs to try and stop it before the entire city destroys itself, rips itself apart, really. So there's a lot of interesting things going on, because, like, when I read that a kid's been shot by a cop, I was like, oh, God, this is awful. Like, how could the cop do that? But then you meet the cop, and she's really sad about what's going on, and she's like, she doesn't want to be saying it's Batman, but she's just getting told what to say.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have a choice in the matter, and it's just, it works well on the corrupt policing in Gotham, and it works well with the whole theming. It's very interesting. I'm going to see if I can get parts one and two, because
that does sound interesting.
I want to know what's going on more.
That sounds really interesting. Right. This is the last of the kind of weekly, monthly ones that I've been reading. I do have one more after this, but that's a graphic novel, a bit of graphic literature, and it's more on the literature side this week as well.
Oh, really?
Before we get into talking about what's been going on this week,
yep,
which Ben knows all about, and I honestly didn't know this. I honestly did not know that there is a comic for Escape from New York.
Yeah, I was surprised by this as well.
You know, and I'm just kind of, wow, it's a comic for Escape from New York. And you know what? It's actually quite good.
Well,
I am really surprised. It's set after New York.
Oh, really?
Right.
So it's Escape from New York. I'm out. End of series.
Yes. It's set after Escape from New York. I don't know if it's after Escape from L.A., because I've only read the sixth issue of it, and there's felt like 5 months before this, but it does have Snake Plissken in.
Yep.
This time he's been captured by a group of military cultist fanatic type people.
Yeah.
They follow the orders of these two young boys who are twins and who have somehow amassed a small collection of nuclear weapons.
Oh,
in Florida. And they're going to declare war on the United States, get rid of the government, wait for about 10 years, and then take over the country.
As you do.
Yeah. So, exactly what you expect Snake to be if you watched Escape from New York.
Yeah.
He is, you know, deadpan. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. And that's basically Snake. That's basically him.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think as a character he would have anything to do in comics, but he actually works quite well. It's surprising how well he works in the comic book format. And obviously these are new stories because they're based after New York.
Yeah.
So they're completely new and unique stories, and I like that. So yeah, Escape from New York I don't know how to describe it. It's a really enjoyable book, but it's definitely not for kids.
No, I wouldn't expect it to. Like, it's based on what it's about. Like, it's influence. That wasn't a kid's film.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be a kid's comic.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing of going, hey, the Saw comic's out, must be for kids. Like,
Mommy, what's he doing to that man's head?
Exactly. I'm quite interested. I haven't seen Escape from New York, but I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear games that took a lot of influence from the comics.
Yeah.
Obviously, Snake is based on Snake Plissken.
Mm-mm.
Even in number two, Snake's code name for himself is Plissken.
Yes.
So, like, just from sort of a fan of a fan sort of thing, I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
Might go back and watch the film first, though.
Yes, I would. I was about to say, it's a good idea to watch the film first. Maybe you can watch Escape from LA as well, if you want. We just got a resounding no from the other side of the room.
Yep.
Anyway, that was me with the weeklies. I do have one last thing before we move on to Animex Comics.
Yes.
Which Ben's been looking forward to. This one we got through for... just a quick notice. The comics that we've covered this week so far have all been kindly given to us by Comic Domain.
Yes, go check them out. They're amazing.
Next thing that we're going to be taking a very, very quick look at is Poetry in Motion, The Illustrated Words of Scroobius Pip.
Yeah, this is quite a unique thing.
Yeah, it is.
Game.
This is basically a graphic novel poetry session.
Ooh.
You know, a graphic literature poetry session. This is literature in graphic form. Let's see. My eyes aren't what they used to be. That's not a poem, by the way. that's just me complaining. In 2008, poet and spoken word hip-hop artist Scroobius Pip set out on a project to publish a collection of his poems drawn by artists he'd recruited from his MySpace page.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the brief was simple. Each artist had to include every word of the lyrics in their comic.
Fair dues.
With a selection of new artwork inspired by street art, graffiti, tattoos, and crime noir movies, this unique visual collection brings a whole new dimension to Scroobius Pip's singular lyrical stylings. And you know what? It's really interesting.
Do you mind if I have a look at this while you talk about it?
There's some amazing, there's some brilliant artwork on display. There's some brilliant, and the poetry is actually really, really good. We're going to be relaunching Literary Loitering soon.
Yes.
Right. This is the kind of thing that would fit perfectly in that as well.
Yeah.
It's
a good cross between different sections of media.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's a very unique way of presenting poetry. Like, it's hard to get people interested in anything, but people love comics. It's just a general thing nowadays that comics are, and that whole sort of culture is on the rise.
Yeah.
So to combine poetry that's like still a great art form but isn't getting as much noticed with a comic form, it's a very unique way of doing things that can be picked up and understood a lot easier than on its own.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. I mean, some of the stuff that is in there, some of the artists who've basically worked on these poems in order to put them in a visual format, you know, they've done an amazing job.
Yeah, it's a very diverse set of...
art styles on display. It is. It's like... And the thing is, I like the fact that it's not static. It just, it feels discordant because of the art style. But then it's a hip hop. He's a hip hop poet. He's supposed to be discordant. It reflects the way he, his poems work. And I really like that. You know, I think it's a very unusual, very unique graphic novel. It's a very unique piece of graphic literature. It's available from Titan Books right now. And if you're a fan of comics or graphic novels or graphic literature, it doesn't matter who you're a fan of. If you're just a general fan of the medium,
yeah,
then it'd really be worth having a look at it at the very least, because it is unique. I've not seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it. Just the idea is brilliant.
Yeah,
like say it's so key on so many things for it to work that the poetry has to be amazing, the artwork has to be amazing, it has to sync well. And from what I hear, it does perfectly. And that's something that's so hard to do, but here it is.
Yeah, exactly. So well done, Scroobius Pip and friends. for making this book. It sounds like a kid's cartoon, doesn't it? Scroobius Pip and Friends.
Yep. I'd watch that. Seems like an interesting guy.
The hip-hop detective.
Yes.
So, yes, he'll solve that crime with his rhymes.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, I know. It was very bad. I apologize to everyone for my very, very lame puns.
I apologize to Scroobius Pip for Rob making fun of your name. It's an amazing name. And carry on with the great poetry.
Yes.
I guess on to Animex.
Yes, Animex comic in specific, isn't it?
Yes. On Wednesday, the 11th of February, Teesside University was holding Animex Comics, a set of talks from different people from the comics industry, and this time the manga industry as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had the one person.
The one person.
But it was a great person.
Okay, fantastic.
I'll get to that in time. I'll basically just run through talk to talk in the order they came. Like, okay. And it started with Jim Zub. Like,
yeah,
we love Zub. He's an amazing guy.
We wub Zub.
Bass love song there. he did a panel on storytelling in the 21st century. Ooh. And he basically ran through the geek culture's basically taking over. He's saying how in bookstores, the graphic literature sections are growing and making more and more money while the rest is either staying the same or dropping. Hero movies and geek themed movies are like doing better than anything else. Like he was showing the top movies of last year, and like over half of them were comic book adaptations, and like a lot of the other ones up there were geek culture. So, like, he was saying, like, there's not this, like, the underclass nerd anymore, because it's okay to like this stuff.
Well,
and that has sort of diversified the what we can do.
I'm pretty sure that Wachowski's nicked ideas from shoujo manga for Jupiter Ascending.
Pretty sure loads of people have nicked loads of things from loads of stuff.
Twilight. But no, seriously, Jupiter Ascending is basically, it's a shoujo manga. It's a sci-fi shoujo manga.
Yeah.
But live action and by the Wachowskis. So yeah, I totally agree with what Zub's been saying.
So he was showing like different ways that paneling can work so well, like to show points. He's like showing
okay, and by paneling are you talking about talking on panels or
No comic panels,
right? Okay.
He's like showing I cannot remember the name of the comic, but it's quite a brutal comic, and like this dog creature is really fast, jumping through a Humvee, killing people inside and like coming out the back, and he just showed a large image of the Humvee. And then just really small panels with close-ups of what was going on.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, this is a quick moment, but all of this is happening. It's like, there's also one where the panels were sort of turned so they were, like, rotated towards you.
Yeah.
Because the creature was moving so fast, it didn't have a panel to it was faster than the panels could move.
Yes, I've seen that effect before.
Yeah, he's showing, you probably know this one, is Batman, where Batman's really old, but he decides to go back into Batman.
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, yes. And he was showing the pages where he's sat there watching the TV.
Yeah.
And then the play that he went to see where his parents were killed, the way that the length of the panels, how it changes for the length of how things are going, how it flicks between the past and the present. When he's flicking through the TV and seeing all the horrible news, the fact that the the panels were half the size than usual, shows that it's going fast, and like all these ways that panels can like express so much more than you think they do just by being the way they are. Like, you would not pick up on that normally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
It's like, another person who actually had talked a bit about panelling was, I'm going to butcher some names here, I'm sorry. Haruma Sanazaki. I'm sorry about if I mispronounced your name.
Haruma Sanazaki, is it?
Sanazaki, yes. Who is a writer of a Japanese variation of Shakespeare. So she's, to try and appeal to an older audience, she usually focuses on different characters. Like, here's a good question. What's the name of Lady Macbeth?
Oh, I've forgotten, damn it.
Oh, well, she's an important character. You should know her name, shouldn't you?
I know, I've forgotten it. My brain's just gone flatline.
Yeah, here's why people don't know it. It's never mentioned. They don't tell her name in Shakespeare's...
Actually, you're right, they don't.
Yeah. Except, so she made a manga focusing on her, this whole story from her point of view. She's such a vital character, but doesn't even get a name.
Do you know what that reminds me of? You remember Wicked?
Yes.
It reminds me a lot of that. What was, you know, the story about the Wicked Witch?
Yeah.
Rather than telling the story of Dorothy, which has been done to death, why not tell the story of the Wicked Witch? Yeah. How did she become the Wicked Witch? Was she always the Wicked Witch? Is Wicked Witch even her real name?
Yeah.
You know, is her surname Witch? Is her first name Wicked? What's on our passport?
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there racism in Oz? You know, is she picked on because she's green?
Exactly.
What about Hulk?
It takes the established story, and just by changing the perspective it's from, changes it completely.
A new story.
It's like in her cover of Romeo and Juliet, she focuses a lot on Juliet's mother, because during this story, the man she loves dies.
Yeah.
And her daughter dies. These are pretty heavy things.
Yeah.
And she can also show a great reflection on what a mature relationship can be with an immature relationship.
Absolutely.
So I got to mention Ryuta Minami, that's it.
Minami.
And Yakura Yoshihara, who were... they study English, and they were helping present this like they English speaking, so they were doing a lot of thing and helping her talk. They need a shout out because they did an amazing job.
So Ryuta Minami and Yukari Yoshihara.
Yes, thank you, Rob. I was going to talk about the paneling. Just talking about, like, there was a certain shot from Macbeth.
Yeah.
Where it's the ceremony of Macbeth being crowned king. And they had like a huge 2-page spread of Macbeth being crowned. And then just in the bottom corner was a dark black panel with Lady Macbeth. Because she's been completely overshadowed. She's been cut out. And like, I thought that was really nice paneling. Like, the way it's done.
Yeah.
Like, she used... Very interestingly.
Do you know, I don't know, it must be because I was watching a DIY program before I left the house today. But whenever you talk about paneling, I'm thinking about, like, you know, and you say it's really nice paneling.
Yeah, kitchen cupboard.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, that's really nice. That's really nice paneling. Really brings out the, you know, really brings out the walls and the furniture.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben, but I just, my brain just went there. Anyway.
Yes. Also heard from Matt Brooker from... 2000 AD.
Oh, fantastic.
He's one of the artists, and had probably the best named panel of how I got to work for my favorite comic in only 1895 difficult steps.
And nice.
He basically just talked through the process of like how he came to be where he was. It was like a biography of his life and the struggles he went through and like the steps he took to try and get plays. And he was saying how like he'd go through a period of a few months where he's working fine, absolutely fine, then go for a year without getting any work.
Yeah.
So he was very interesting. We also had a talk with the man behind where is it? Michael Mulcher. That's
Michael Mulcher.
Who's basically a PR man.
Yeah.
Talking about the history of 2000 AD and how it's evolved.
Ooh, that'd be good. That would have been a great talk.
It was a very interesting one. They were talking about how it's always moving forward. Like, they haven't reset any characters. The characters are still the same characters, but they've just changed over time.
Yeah.
Because that's how they would change through the story.
And wow.
Very interesting.
See, I like it when they do stuff like that, when it just pushes forward and just tells an almost continuous story.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, they were just saying, like, Judge Dredd has changed not because we decided he changed, but because something happened and he had to change because of it.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they do a lot of stories that end, like, they only run for a little while, it means they can have complete stories.
Yeah.
And then they won't go back to them. So it was very interesting.
Fantastic.
And finally, Tula Lottie, who's an amazing comic artist, beautiful artist in general, she talked with Zub, and it was just like an interview of her talking through her life, how she just sort of stumbled into it. She knew she wanted to work for comics, but she just stumbled into it, and she founded Thought Bubble, and how she was found over Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you do find people, talented people in the oddest places these days.
Yeah. So it's like, she was just saying, like, because of Thought Bubble and stuff, she, like, started making connections, and she just made an Instagram account just because she wanted to post her art somewhere. And
yeah.
So she was posting it, and all these people that she knew, like, followed her and started reposting her stuff. And then, like, people in comics companies took notice.
Fantastic.
So he just, meeting all these people, they were all very nice. Like, I got to meet them all one-on-one and talk to them properly.
Yeah.
And they're all really interesting. Like, in fact, my favorite was actually meeting Haramu, can you repeat the name? I'm sorry for butchering your names.
And Haramu, which one are we on? Are you on about the two, the lad and the lass again?
Yeah, one above.
The Haramu Sanazaki.
Yeah, I got to talk to her while we talked about Giovanni's Island and Attack on Titan. And
yes.
We had a lot of fun. Like, it was just, it's very nice when you see such great artists and you can just talk to them as a person and find out how much you have in common. It was really nice.
Yeah. So it sounds like you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, I did, very much so.
Fantastic. Anyway, we are unfortunately at the end of the show.
It's been fun.
It's been fun. Join us again next week for more adventures in the world of graphic literature with me, Rob.
And me, Ben.
We'll see you all next week. Take care, have fun, keep reading.